Okay.
I believe Campbell's next.
Thank you. Very briefly, I know I've heard a lot about this presumed audit from, I believe it was DOES in D.C.,
yeah.
Department of Employment Services. And what did it take more than a conversation on the telephone to get it straightened out that, you know, there was no need to really pursue this for Pacifica? And I was wondering, why in the world did they come up with the bright idea that they needed to go into some serious kind of audit with Pacifica?
Well, you know, when I talk with Mr. Corradini, you know, he, the department of Washington, D.C., was not going to send him to California. So, therefore, we provided a lot of information. You know, I've had numerous conversations. We've talked about it. He's gotten information from Robert West. So, but again, it goes to just the fact is that our headquarters is not in Washington, D.C. The entity there is, you know, it has like, I think they have 9 employees. You know, it is not significant. There's no alleged fraud. So there's no need for this.
Well, I just don't understand why in 2012 this thing comes to be an issue. And, you know, it's like nothing that has come up previously. You know, is this something that's a dust-up behind our council chairman and council member going to jail? Or is this, you know, I don't know where they, you know, where how did this thing become an issue? And it's never, as far as I know, it's never been an issue or question in the past. And it seems to me as though all that would be necessary to satisfy the folks would be to send them articles of incorporation and a list of, you know, employee list, and then, hello, let's move on to the next issue.
Well, that's, we did all that. But, you know, we're just lucky that way.
Thank you.
Okay, so we went through Campbell. I think Kim was last, and then hopefully we can get to the last item on the agenda and be out of here.
I'm a little stunned that this has never come to light before. However,
I'm sorry. What hasn't come to light?
This not
the premium costs.
Yeah.
Oh, you and I both are stunned. Uh-huh. And it was the audit that brought it out.
Yeah, but I'm stunned that nobody knew this. It's somewhat kind of obvious. But
well,
anyway,
so
anyway,
can I just read what Tanner said?
No, let me finish.
Let me finish
what I want to say.
Well, please.
And the point is, so the CPB right now is looking at 2009 and 2010. So you're fixing 2012 before you submit it. So we're still going to have to go back and fix 2011 so we can expect even more penalties or payback money or whatever. Correct?
No, it's not correct. In 2012, the audit that we just did, we're currently in 2012. The audit that we just finished is 2011.
Okay.
So now we're submitting 2011 numbers. And yeah, I'm stunned that this is part of our independent auditor's responsibility. And the CPB actually states that if there are errors that result in penalty to the entity, that is a concern about your auditor. I mean,
it's been going on for, you know, ever. Like decades, LaVarn. All of them have done the same thing. So
all of who then? I'm sorry. All of who then?
All of our other auditors as well. The other auditor that you liked, he did the same thing, apparently. So, you know, this has been done for a long time.
Well, first of all, you know, the fact of whoever I like is irrelevant. And it's not a fact of, for me, it's not who I like. That's not how I run the business. It's who produces and gets the job done. So, you know, the fact that it was done in ERA, and that Penner told me that he talked with Ross Wisdom, not with Tony Pohl, who I understand is retired. So the fact is that we're getting tunnelized. That's what the fact is. So we just have to move on that, and we have to produce the correct number this time, send it to Ross Wisdom, and see if he has any comments about that, and see if he suggests that we go back and revise some numbers.
Barbara for the stack.
Okay, I guess this will be an 8 o'clock meeting. Anybody else on the staff besides Barbara?
Okay, go ahead, Barbara.
Well, I want to understand, as far as I know, the cost of our premiums is in our financial statements. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
And is the CPB auditor saying that somehow some of these are undervalued, and even though they didn't cost us any more than what we've put in as an expense, they need to be claimed as more valuable?
Well, the issue is not the cost of the premiums. The issue is the fair market value of the premiums.
So it is something to do with a value other than what we pay.
Yes. Yes.
That doesn't seem fair. And if what you're saying is our auditor put in what we pay, then I don't understand how come the fair market value even comes into it. Because when donors get their year-end statement,
yes, there you go,
that it has on there what the cost of the premium was, you know, reduces the amount.
It doesn't have a cost. It doesn't have a cost, Barbara. It has the fair market value of the premium.
And so the person's tax-deductible amount of donation is reduced not by the cost of the premium, but by the fair market value of the premium?
Yes. Yes.
Why do we do it that way?
No, she's right. If you buy a CD, it'll pop up as $20 on your donation
form.
That's
right. Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole, you know, the retail value is, and that's even higher, you know.
That seems really wrong to me.
Well,
anyway,
see, it's an IRS issue.
So state the fair market value on the year-end statements to donors.
Yeah.
Well, you see,
allow
the donors,
is that what the IRS does?
Well, it's an IRS issue. If you allow the donor to deduct on their taxes if they itemize, you know, you get a certain amount of contribution, right? And
right.
And it's net of the fair market value. But see, if you have a lower number, you get to deduct more on your taxes.
Yes, I understand that, but I'm not clear. Why? I guess what you're saying is the IRS is making nonprofits like ours declare the fair market value rather than what they had to pay for these premiums.
Because that's the calculation that the IRS requires. Yes.
Point of information: it's your donation minus the fair market value that you can deduct.
That's right, we know.
Exactly, that's what we're saying, yes.
But I'm saying there's a difference between the fair market value and what our organization actually paid for these things.
Exactly. And so the question is, how do you determine that?
Well,
guys, we don't actually engage in this much crosstalk. So, LaVarn, finish what you're saying, and then if there's a follow-up.
Oh, I'm through.
Okay. Barbara, do you have one follow-up, and then I am going to move the agenda.
I'm still uncertain that I'd like to have some more evidence about the IRS requiring this of us.
Okay, I'll send you CPB. See, there's a guideline there, 85 pages. In fact, I'll send you the link And you can look at it, and they tell you to refer to the IRS.
Well, it's the IRS. Yeah.
I actually think LaVarne is correct about this, but if you could send the link that cites, that'll be fine.
Well, and did our auditor...
Barbara, can you wait to be called on, please?
Well, I thought you were asking me to finish. Excuse me. And I don't know why there's an echo in there now.
I'm sorry that you're having problems with your phone. What is it that you would like to say?
It's the... If the auditor went by an IRS standard... I'm just questioning that Ross Wisdom would have known that it should be the fair market value rather than the cost to us. And if it seemed like he would be putting the correct amount in. Anyway.
Okay.
It's an oversight, and Tanner, and that's why the that's why CPB comes out in audit, to catch things.
Okay, guys. Guys, this is degenerating. It's getting late. Let's stop. We have one last item on the agenda, which belongs to Ken. It's the cost of conferences. Ken, is this something you can cover briefly, or is it something we should kick over to July 10th?
Just very briefly to think about for July 10th. I'll just mention it. Maybe more data will come in.
Madam Chair, one very brief question.
Campbell, Ken is actually...
I'll yield to Campbell.
Yeah, the question that I had is that does this year seem to be different in terms of the level of scrutiny that we've been placed under from prior years or other years? And if so, what might you attribute that to?
I assume you're asking that of the CFO?
I beg your pardon?
You're asking that question to LaVarne.
Yes.
Okay, Ken, will you permit the interruption for LaVarne to answer?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think we're just lucky.
Okay, I'm done.
this is the first time. I can't tell you.
Dig me with a fork. I'm done.
Okay, this is on that. I just wanted us to consider that we just had the National Foundation for Community Broadcasting meetings, which we've always supported through the years. But since we're in a financial duress, I think we should have minimized the participation this year. But I estimated it was somewhere between $5,000 to $10,000 with airfare and room and board and everything. And I just wanted to know if there's any other events coming up that we should minimize our participation in other conferences across the network. That's for everybody, if Pacific is paying the bill.
Come for a stack.
This is LaVarne. Should I answer? We have the Republican and Democratic Convention. Those are the two things that we will be gathering for that will cost the foundation funds, in addition to our normal governance meeting, the one in Berkeley and the expected one in New York.
Well, I would just in terms, I don't want to go back and forth, so I think Campbell should go on the queue.
Kim to the stack.
Tracy, are you there? Well, Tracy's not
here.
Sure.
Okay. Yes, I am here. I heard Kim for the stack. Ken had a question. It seems to me that goes to LaVarne. Should we have LaVarne answer the question before we go to the rest of the stack?
She did.
She did. Okay. Then let's go to Kim and then to Campbell.
How many people are expected to go to the conventions besides Otis and... John, well, how many people? Do you have a number for that?
The political conventions?
Yeah.
John Al Miller is doing that. And I can tell you briefly, I mean, it's kind of changing. We have we have Mitch Jesuit, we have Martinez from KPFA. We have John, we have Otis. We are working with Arlene should be on the phone to go through
working with Chris here in Tampa. And it would be the same number of people going to Charlotte. There is expected another individual from L.A., but I'm not sure if that person is going to be there. But we'll have a better idea on the conference call on Thursday with the other staff to see what the current status is. So that's like that sounds like four to each going to each one, and we have a person there in Tampa who I believe is working with the staff there, and also WMNF helping also.
Okay, we'll go to the next person on the stack, which I believe is Campbell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to make a recommendation that this committee pass a motion on to the PNB, and that would be that our, since we aren't going to have a coordinating committee meeting beforehand, it seems, that there would be a report from someone to the PNB as a whole in regard to the NFCB convention so that we can have a corporate benefit from the engagement of an investment of the funds in that particular convention. So I hereby move that we have a report from someone, I imagine it may well be from our ED, in regard to this, and she can share whatever information she needs from other attendees.
I second that, and I have an amendment.
What's your amendment, Kim?
That
Before we go to amendments, Jim, did you get the motion?
I'm getting feedback, and I can go.
Should I restate it?
Yes, it sounds like you should.
I move that our ED coordinate with attendees at the NFCB conference to make a presentation at our in-person meeting that will cover what took place and what we gained from that conference. And I believe
Kim,
we
have
for an amendment.
Okay, Kim, what is your amendment?
With input from all the attendees, you know, if they got a nice 5-day, you know, vacation doing this, I'd like to get a report from all the people that we spent money to send there.
Point of information, Madam Chair?
Yes, Campbell.
Yes, people like, I don't anticipate that we're going to have WPFW's general manager there, but if it's adequate for him to provide the ED with a report, then, you know, absolutely, I certainly think that Kim's amendment is a friendly one.
Okay, so with that, unless there is further discussion, we will bring this motion to a vote and our meeting to a close. Is there further discussion on it? Oh, all right, Bill. Bill.
Campbell, we do have a coordinating committee meeting Monday, so we can bring this up then with Arlene.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is really needed, but
sure. That's
probably willing to do this anyway. But it's okay. I'm not objecting to it. You want to pass the motion, okay.
I mean, we're concerned with the finances and what these, you know, what we're spending our money on. So I'm fine with it coming from this committee.
Yeah, I think it would be very direct and it would go right to the PNB as a whole.
It's up to the maker of the motion if they want to postpone or re-enter it at the coordinating committee or if they prefer to take it to a vote right now.
Let's take it to a vote now. Please.
Bill, you have the option to make a motion to postpone or to table if you want to do that.
No, it's okay.
Okay. In that case, Jim, if you could call the roll.
Okay, now with you.
Madam Chair, could we have that without objection?
I don't know. Is there?
I need to find out what amendment was added and what it is.
I think that my impression is that there might be an objection or an abstention. So I'm thinking
okay.
We should call the roll.
Sure.
I'd like to find out what the motion is. Okay. My impression is the ED and the attendees at the NFCB conference make a presentation at the in-person meeting as to what took place and what was gained.
Clarification. A written report would suffice. I mean, we don't want them all to fly there to make a in-person report. Just
right.
A written report from everyone.
And a presentation from the ED.
Yeah.
The ED to coordinate this.
All right, Jim, have you got enough data there to have a motion?
It's written. Well, I've submitted a written report and a presentation at the
And you have ED in there somewhere?
The ED will make the presentation.
Okay,
the ED will make a written report.
Great.
Okay,
the roll. Campbell?
Yes.
Jim, yes. Bill?
No.
Kim?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Tracy?
I'm going to abstain.
Barbara?
Yes.
Marcus? Savarn?
I'm sorry, abstain.
Okay, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 yes, 1 no, and 2 abstentions, so the motion passes.
Okay, I'm going to make a suggestion here. I do not know if tomorrow's PNB meeting will encompass a finance report or not. If it does, I will bring the motion up. If not, Campbell, do you give permission for this to be raised at the coordinating committee on Tuesday? Okay, because it might be able to short-circuit.
I'm secretary of coordinating committee, so... You know,
yeah, it kind of is just an agenda item for the coordinating committee. So if it doesn't make it through the full board, that might be another route.
Right. Thank you very much.
I personally just didn't want it to die in the coordinating committee.
It won't.
No. Now that we have a motion, it'll get lost somewhere else, but it won't die there.
It will be presented to the coordinating committee as the recommendation of the NS. It'll have a little more weight.
Right.
Yes.
That's the idea. But like I said, I don't know. Tomorrow it may not, make the agenda. I can't assume.
And Jim, would you be able to share that with us before the meeting tomorrow?
You want a copy of the motion?
Thursday.
Yes,
Thursday's the meeting.
I'll email it to you as soon as possible. Fine.
Thank you so much.
All right. With that, folks, we have completed our gigantic agenda. Thank you for your patience. I think that's the first time we've had 12 items on an NFC agenda. We'll try never to do that again. And we will meet again on July 10th. If there's nothing further, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Any objections?
Without objection.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.